After the week's turmoil in Europe, a check on the U.S. economy. From APM in Washington, I'm Amy Scott with the Marketplace Midday Update. The Labor Department this morning said consumer prices rose slightly last month thanks to higher gas prices. Without volatile food and energy prices, though, inflation is basically flat, rising just 0.2%. Meanwhile, it's been a big week for corporate earnings, with companies from Google to Citigroup beating analysts' expectations. Here to discuss is Chris Lowe, chief economist with FTN Financial. Good morning.
Good morning, Amy.
So we've had a lot of corporate earnings this week and a lot of better than expected earnings. I mean, is this just a matter of reduced expectations?
Well, it certainly is to an extent. Companies did a really good job of guiding the analysts lower this quarter. Actually, two or three quarters in a row now. But I would point out the markets, too, seem to be priced for pretty low expectations as well. The S&P right now is trading at the level it was at the end of February. So we've essentially gone sideways since the middle of the first quarter.
And there's some other economic data out today. I mean, consumer price index and housing starts. What do you make of these numbers?
The CPI was pretty much surprise-free. It came in as expected. Housing starts were a little better than expected. Building permits were much better than expected. It tells me that builders are growing increasingly confident. If they build it, they can sell it. It suggests that even though consumers maybe are a little rattled and consuming less, that there is definitely an appetite for new homes.
Chris Lowe with FTN Financial, thanks so much.
Thank you.
The Senate passed an overhaul of the federal No Child Left Behind Act yesterday. The bill would reduce federal oversight of schools nationwide. Annual testing will still be required in most grades, but states will have more power to decide how those tests are used and what to do about low-performing schools. In an interview with Marketplace, U.S. Education Secretary Arne Duncan was cautiously supportive of the idea of giving states more flexibility.
What No Child Left Behind, you know, was broken, and what it got fundamentally wrong is it was very, very loose on goals, but very prescriptive on how you got there. We've tried to flip that on its head. We think we should be tight on goals and be very clear that every child should be aiming to graduate from high school and graduate college and career ready, but be much more loose in terms of how states get there. And you talk about, you know, 50 states, 15,000 school districts, 100,000 schools. Folks should have a lot of room to be creative, to be innovative, to be entrepreneurial, to help students be successful.
Civil rights advocates had hoped for stricter federal oversight to make sure schools are meeting the needs of low-income and minority students. And the lobbying isn't over. Now negotiators will try to reconcile the Senate bill with the more conservative version passed in the House. We got details this week on the biggest apparel deal in college sports history. Nike is agreeing to pay the University of Michigan $169 million to be the school's official athletic brand. And if that sounds like a lot of money just to put a swoosh on jerseys, you got to understand the battle that brands are waging to own college campuses. Michigan Radio's Kate Wells reports.
When Michigan fans found out that the school would be leaving Adidas and going to Nike, the reaction was like, but seriously, the emotion about whether your school is Nike versus Adidas versus Under Armour, it is real.
We have such like a big feeling about this stuff. But
Brian Cook is a rising junior at Michigan. He's at a barbershop here in Ann Arbor.
I bet you're the only person on the football team that wanted Adidas as a kicker.
And that's the thing. Going with Nike is not just about what Michigan wants to wear. Barbara James Price says it's really about what Michigan wants to be.
It's less about money and more about keeping up with the rest of college football, really.
Yeah.
When you see Nike, you know that they're going to do what they have to promote the school and put the school on that the next pedestal.
And that belief, that is priceless to brands like Nike. That's why Nike is in kind of an arms race with Under Armour and Adidas to throw more and more money at apparel contracts with big sports schools. Because they're not just trying to sell shoes, although, yeah, they want to sell shoes. They're trying to be college football and basketball, at least in the fans' minds. They're trying to be the biggest, fastest, sexiest parts of college ball. Take, for example, this ad for Nike's football camp for high school players.
Every year, 163 of the strongest and the baddest will come to play, with another 1,000 killing themselves to get here.
This is Paul Swinand. He's an analyst at Morningstar, and he focuses on sporting and luxury goods.
So that's made it imperative to get the biggest and the needle-moving schools in your camp.
This is one of the ways that brands like Nike are trying to drive and even create content, not just apparel, when it comes to college sports.
The battleground of the American universities is part of the strategy to get the consumer early to lock in their emotional ties to the brand. I don't want to say that they're ready to write blank checks to universities, but they're competing much harder and willing to spend more. That's driving the price up.
Swinand says as audiences get more and more fragmented between online and TV, live sports, especially sports with deep, loyal fan bases like Michigan, are worth more than ever before. In Ann Arbor, I'm Kate Wells for Marketplace.
Another chicken processor has issued a recall over concerns about salmonella. Illinois-based Aspen Foods is recalling nearly 2 million pounds of raw, frozen chicken products. The USDA warns the products may appear cooked. They're stuffed and breaded, but they are raw. The news follows a chicken recall earlier this week from Barber Foods of Maine. In Washington, I'm Amy Scott with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.